It's a good idea. I like that. Okay, and then what questions are there? Anyone have any questions? And Raquel, you can just post them in the tech in the message in the chat.
I have a question.
Okay.
And sometimes you look at something and you look at it and think about it, and then you come back to it. So I'm looking at acknowledgments, I'm looking at checking questions, those two. And the acknowledgment is when you acknowledge what you've heard. And I notice that you may repeat back what the person said and ask if what you've heard. But isn't that the same thing as a checking question?
Not quite. Technically, what they're saying is that you're not supposed to ask a question at all after acknowledgments. I think it sometimes helps. So what I'm hearing you say is that, like, am I right? So an acknowledgement for me is something larger than a checking question. So a checking question is, if you compare that with a checking question, with a testing question, is I'm checking my understanding of what I hear you say.
Well, I'm
So
actually, yeah, go.
that could be like something like, I make an acknowledgement based on what I've heard, and that's feeding back your client's words, word for word. And that might be like in a form of a summation. Like, is it, do you call that a summation? But you sum up what you've heard. This is what I've heard you say so far. And then, for example, there might be, you might be hearing a relationship between two things. And then you can say, so you make the acknowledgement, and then your client says, yeah, that's correct. So am I understanding you correctly that X equals Y? So that would be checking. I'm checking my understanding of what you're saying, or I'm checking, like, I hear something really important, or like semantically loaded. And so then I say, like, out of that, I'm making the acknowledgement, and then afterwards, my client says yes, and then afterwards, I can ask my client, so it sounds like this is really important. And so then I'm checking, is that correct? I'm making that assumption, but I'm checking that with you to see if I'm correct.
So let me understand this. So I understand what checking is, where you're wanting to make sure you understand relationships or what's important to the person. But acknowledgement is just for, this is what I heard you say, and nothing else.
And nothing else. And no, like, it doesn't really need to be followed up with a question.
Yeah, well, the next question would be, so acknowledgement is purely, is this what I heard you say? And then the checking is actually not just what I've heard you, but does this mean something? Different, more than this, does, I mean, saying what certain thing, having more meaning than just hearing. It's
Yeah, it could
I mean, that's
also, it could also just be checking, is this what I'm hearing you say? Are you, is this what you're saying? But
I
the
don't
checking
understand.
is, the checking is more for be what, yeah, for understanding. Like, if, for example, you make a connection, am I understanding that this connection is there?
Yes, I understand that part. It's the acknowledgement, which it seems to me a checking can't be a pure, I hear what you say. Is this what I heard you say? But it's more than that. Acknowledgement is, this is what I hear you say. I mean, that's what I, other than that, I can't, that makes sense to me if that's what it is. But
Yeah, that's the way that I use it. Yeah, definitely.
otherwise, I was looking at your you uploaded the session for us to look at that you had last year.
Yes.
I think I said some of the checking I had in there should have been acknowledgments, because I'm thinking, well, you know, they are really different, but I look at my definition of them and they look the same. It's some degree.
Right. Yeah.
Overlap. So now I'm trying to find out a way of thinking about them so they don't overlap.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to clarify the difference, and I think if this is what it is, then I think I understand it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So most in the video that I send you, and I'll send it to the others as well, so we can discuss it next time. But I'm doing more acknowledgments than I'm doing checking.
Yeah, you're right. So I sent you a document in which I list the ones. I should probably go back over it and just correct it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Pascal. Any other questions? Okay, so if there's no other questions, Pascal requested previously to go over the introductory session. So what is it that you do before you set up a program with your client, which is what you do once your client has already agreed and paid for the program? Like, how do you do an introductory session? So I'd like to focus on that today. First, just go over, okay, how to approach an introductory session and what's important about an introductory session, and then go over some questions. And then we can practice part of that a little bit. So Pascal, let's start with what are some of the questions that you have around the introductory session?
Well, one was you have an introductory session where the purpose is to, I guess, I'm asking is to see if you and the client can work together, if what some of the things that the client wants to resolve are something that is in the domain. It's not therapy, it's coaching, and also whether or not to interest them. If it is something you think you can work on, how to interest them and motivate them to work with you, and to contrast that with the in-depth session that you have, if once they've agreed to be your client, then you mentioned there was another in-depth session you had 2 hours or so.
Yeah.
You go in much more detail. So I want to contrast the difference between that introductory session and that in-depth session, which you talked about a while ago.
Yeah.
And there are, and how long the introductory session is. How much things might cost, like you said, a result. You pay for a result as opposed to a session.
Right.
So I'm just all around that initial contact with the client who seems interested, which can end up in them not working with you or working with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I always start with 30 minutes introductory session. And I always leave some extra time, like up to an hour, in case I'm working with someone who needs more time. But like yesterday, I had a call with a potential client, and it lasted 25 minutes because she had already made the decision that this was what she wanted. And so I asked her a few questions to understand where she's at, where she wants to be. And that's not just for my client, but that's also for me to determine, is this client a good fit? Because I don't, and that's one of my principles in my business, is I don't want to make an offer to someone if my program is not what they need. And they may think that my program is what they need, but like when I start asking questions and I hear, oh, they really need something else, that's what I will do. So what I start out with is, and I will share that as a preframe as well. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions about where you are and where you want to be, and what the gap is and what is needed for you to bridge that gap. So this is a exploration. And if then I see that I'm able to help you and one of my programs fits, I will let you know. And if not, I will refer you to someone else. So that's, I always do that in the beginning, so that they know, hey, first I'm going to ask a lot of questions, and then I might make an offer if it is a fit. If it's not, then I won't make an offer. Then I'm going to refer you. And so a couple of months ago, I had this potential client, and he used to be an investment banker on Wall Street, and didn't really know what coaching was. And so I had told him, I'm going to ask you some questions. And after 5 minutes, he got really annoyed with me and said, like, I thought you were going to help me, and now you're just asking questions of me. How, like, you know, I feel like I'm helping you. And it was obviously not a fit, not what he needed. But even though he knew that it was not what he needed, he still, like, started asking me, so what can you offer me? What can you offer me? And I just said, well, quite honestly, I don't think I can offer you anything that you need. And then he said, oh, I don't think so either. You know, that's one experience that I've had. I've had more of those experiences where someone is just not ready for coaching. And that's part of, like, what you find out when you start asking the questions. And then I'm very straightforward. I'm not able to help you. This is what I think you need. So that whole introductory session for me is not necessarily to make a sale, but it is to help this person to their next step. And that's my presupposition, or that's the way that I run those introductory sessions. Now, the way that I set them up, like I said, I first have a set of questions. And really everything that I do in the beginning is the motivation axes. So present state, desired state. I ask questions about that. I ground it. Where does this occur? When? With whom? What state does that put you in? And then I start asking those meta questions that are part of the motivation axes. So if you continue to do it this way, like you have done in the past, what is it going to cost you? Does this make your life a party? Do you want to keep doing this? So I'm going to make them aware of the pain. And then also, I'm also going to make them aware of, if you have what you want and we work together, let's say we work together and you get what you want, what difference will that make? And what is important about that? What will that give you? And in what other areas will be positively affected by that? So that would be the motivation axes. And I spend about 10, 15 minutes on that. And it's at a higher level. So I don't go looking for the leverage point for change. I don't do that. But I do take the present state and desired state in a specific context. And then based on that, I will let my client know. Like, once we've got that, then I will feed that back to them. So this is where you're at right now. You want to move away from this, because if you keep doing this, this is what it's going to cost you. And you really want to be here. And that would be valuable for you because of this and this and this and this. And then once I've done that, I will say, so if you had that, would that be valuable for you? Yes. Would you like me to tell you how I can help you? Yes. Okay, so that's when I start telling them this is what I can do. And then I might explain the difference between therapy and coaching and training. I'll explain the program that I have and what it involves and how it relates to their outcome, to what it is that they want. If there's something, if the outcome that they have is not inside of their control, then I will also let them know that it's not a guarantee. And so I worked with a lady once that wanted to land a job as a principal of a primary school, but without teaching experience, which in Holland is very, very difficult. It's a very tight group. You have to have, you know, 15 years experience as a teacher before you can come become a principal. But she came, she wanted that. And I said, well, you have enough zeal. And if that's what you want, I'm willing to help you with that. But I can't guarantee that you're going to get that job. So I made that very clear right at the beginning. She ended up getting the job after all, but that's not inside my control. So I make that very clear of what's possible, what's not possible. And then once I've explained all of that, I ask them, how does that sound? And a lot of the time they, if that sounds good to them, they come with like, okay, how much does it cost? And then I will tell them the cost or the investment. I use that word. It's an investment. And then I just leave a silence. So once that's there, I leave a silence. And if the silence is really long, I will ask, so how does that sound? And then I might get objections like, oh, I'm unable to afford that right now, or you know. But a lot of the time, once I've done the preparation, a lot of the time the money isn't really an issue anymore. And especially also because I always offer installments, so I offer monthly payments. And so that's one way that I work that out with my clients, and we set that up depending on what they would want. And there's also times where my client is unable to, they just don't have the funds right now, and they say, well, I want to check back with you 2 months from now. And a lot of the time, they will come back. And what you hear in a lot of online marketing programs is that you have to get them to buy right here, right now. And you know, you have to use fear tactics and blah, blah, blah. I don't use that, because if someone doesn't have the money, it's their responsibility. And I might, and because I've done all the pre-work and they know the value of it, that's what they're going to hold on to. And sometimes they might sit with it for a couple of months and then I'll check in with them. Are you ready to commit right now? So I do check in. And the percentage of people that buy, I don't quite know the percentage, but it's pretty high. It's about 60-70% of people that end up buying even after a couple of months, if they are a right fit for the program. So that's a little bit the overview. Any questions so far?
Yeah, I have some questions.
Yeah.
So when you start with 30 minutes but leave up to an hour, does that mean 30 minutes to an hour total, or an hour and a half? 30 minutes to an hour.
30 minutes to an hour, yeah.
Total, okay. Let's see. What do you, what, when you say what you can do for them, what do you say?
After
You
that?
listen to the, no, you talked about, you elicited what their present state is, some of their future state, along motivation axes, and then you feed it back to them, and then you tell them what you could do for them. What do you say?
Oh, like
Hello.
first I asked them, like, would you like me to know how you, would you like to know how I can help you?
Yes.
And so that's the
Yes.
first step. And then I will explain there might be several options, but because I know exactly what they want, I've listened to, okay, so, and because I work with coaches only, it might be that they need to develop their coaching skills in combination with working on their inner game. So that would be a coaching, working on coaching. Or it could just be the business part, the business side of it. So I might give them two options to choose from. But when I start explaining that, I always relate it back to, this is what you've said, and so this is why I think this is valuable for you.
In other words, develop your skills as a coach, for example, or develop your inner game when
Right.
you're either in your business or a coach. Okay. So you have so based on what programs you have to offer, you tell them based on what they need, which program is appropriate and what you would do within that program. Does
Right, exactly.
that make sense? And so, but earlier you said you were talking about not just coaching, but it seemed as if you talked about a client, a coaching client, not a coach. Or was that, did I mishear? It was the difference between, you were talking about the difference between coaching and therapy or coaching and training. So you were giving them information.
Yeah, I might say that, especially like with me, I don't really have to do that so much because I'm working with coaches, NLP coaches and meta coaches, so they already know what coaching is, so I don't have to really explain that so much. But with people who, because in the past I've worked with leaders and just employers in organizations, and then I do have to explain this is what I do, and this is what I don't do. Because
Yeah.
some of them they expect some of them they expect that that I'm going to tell them what to do, and they're going to give me advice. And so then, if that's the case and that's what you're looking for, then you need to go somewhere else. I can give you a few names.
I think that's an important thing. So, two things. One is, you deciding whether the client is a good fit, the first client you mentioned was argumentative and didn't seem ready for coaching. What other things will let you know it's not a good fit for you?
Right.
Is there anything else that would tell you that they're not a good fit?
If they don't have like any self-reflection, so I can ask a lot of meta questions, but they don't know how to answer that. Or they get defensive, or impatient. Like I mentioned, I've had people who get really impatient and they want me to tell them how to solve their problem. So I'm looking for a sense of eagerness and an ability to be challenged and to laugh at themselves. So that's what happens also in those first sessions.
So you want a few away from is a few towards. They need self-reflection. They're patient with you. They look, they're looking for eagerness, laugh, and they can laugh at themselves. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Seems like it's important to mention to people that you're not giving advice, because a lot of people think coaches, as in sports, give advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. If you get people who are not coaches, then that becomes really critical to give that explanation of, you know, like, this is asking questions so that you get your own answers. And I might be challenging, so it's not necessarily going to be comfortable. But this is how coaching can help. And if you're looking for advice, then you need to find a consultant.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. Any more questions?
I think that's all I have.
Okay, great. Any others who have questions? Holly or Christian?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. So I would like to do for one of you to practice this, and then I will help you, because what we're really doing is we do the present state, desired state, and then creating a gap. So we're getting that information. And then based on that, we can make an offer. So who would like to practice that? Or I can do a demo as well, if you prefer that.
So you know, when you initially start this, you don't necessarily have your like when you do a coaching session, you're framing it with what your style is. That doesn't happen here.
No, I don't do that.
Okay, so I'm just...
Yeah.
I think I'd like to see you do it.
Okay.
I mean, then I can get more of an idea of a demonstration of what it's like.
Okay, no problem. So, Christian says he can be coached. Since I coached you last time, maybe I'm curious, Holly, do you have something that you would like to change in your life? Like a big thing? Hello, Ollie? Are you there? I think you're muted.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, I do have something specific. Yeah.
Okay, great. So so we're not going to do the coaching. We're just going to explore the present state and desired state.
Okay.
Okay, so Pascal, I'm just going to mute you, and I'm going to set my timer. So we'll just do 20 minutes, and then after that we can do questions. Okay, so let me just start the clock, Holly. Okay, so Holly,
yes,
we have about 20 minutes together, yes. And in the appointment that you made with me, you mentioned that there's something that you really want to change in your life.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit?
Oh, you can hear. Oh, I Well, I'm really struggling to see the bigger structure of coaching and how all the parts fit together.
Okay. So you're struggling with seeing the bigger structure of coaching and how all of the different parts fit together.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where you're at right now. You're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Holly, just to let you know what we're going to be doing today is I'm just going to ask you some questions about mm-hmm. where you're at today and where you really want to be.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a look at what the gap is. And then if I see that I'm able to help you with bridging that gap so that you can reach your outcome, I will let you know. If not, then I will refer you on to someone else. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first part is I'm just going to ask you a lot of questions.
Okay.
So you mentioned that you struggle with seeing the bigger picture and putting everything together.
Yes.
Okay. So in that struggle, how is that a problem for you in your life?
It's a problem because, how is it a problem? Because I worry about, I just can't see the bigger picture. And okay. So how is it a problem? I think it's a problem. I know it's a problem, but how is it a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Then I get into a bad state.
Okay. How would you call that bad state?
Frustrated.
Okay. So you get frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Timid.
Okay. So you get frustrated and timid. Do you get frustrated and timid at the same time?
Yeah. I think first I get frustrated and then I get timid.
Okay. So first you get frustrated and then you get timid. And yeah. When specifically does that happen?
It's when let's say the coach is talking about their problem state and they're giving me a lot of details.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't grab the detail to ground.
Okay. Am I understanding you correctly? This is when you're coaching?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you're getting a lot of details.
Yeah.
And you can't seem to ground your client.
Yeah.
And that's when you struggle with seeing the bigger picture and how everything fits together. And then something happens inside of you. We don't know what yet, but that creates frustration and then mm-hmm. feel timid.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you get timid, what does that do for you in your coaching session? What happens then in your coaching session?
I want to say I play small, but what happens is then I can't interrupt. Then I don't know what question to ask. I struggle to do acknowledgments.
Okay.
I would say a confusion happens.
Okay. So beyond timid, there's confusion.
Yeah.
And that's when you're unable to interrupt. You don't know what questions to ask. You can't make acknowledgments.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you're unable to do all of that, no interruptions, no questions to ask, can't make acknowledgments, in what way is that a problem for you?
Well, then I feel useless.
Okay.
Then I just feel useless.
Okay.
I go into almost a state of not doing anything except, okay. I guess, listening, which is not coaching.
Okay. So then you actually go from not being able to see that bigger, the bigger structure and how everything fits together when your client gives you a lot of details, to feeling frustrated about that, then turning that into feeling timid and confusion. And then ultimately you feel useless and you're not really doing much of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the laughter about?
Because it's funny. It's not productive. It's just funny.
Okay. So let's take a step back from this, Holly.
Okay.
In what way is this affecting your life?
Well, I don't feel like I ever improve. So I stay stuck.
Okay.
So that's really affecting me.
Stuck at what?
I just feel stuck. I feel stuck in that particular paradigm, and that I can't go any further. So how does it affect me? I feel like I can't go any further. I can't improve. That's how it's a problem.
Okay. How is it affecting your business, for example?
Oh, business. Well, then I'm timid. I'm timid to go out and ask for or to find people to coach. I doubt myself. So that comes across in my confidence and my voice.
Okay.
But ultimately, so it keeps me from going out there and pursuing business. Mm-hmm. And it keeps me, working on the other crap that's not going to make a bigger difference.
Okay. What other crap are we talking about?
I'm talking about marketing and...
Okay.
Yeah, that stuff.
Okay, so is that a way of not... working on the other crap, is that a way of not going out to find people to coach?
I think it's one way, but it's the other way I make myself feel better, because I feel like crap about this other thing.
Okay, so it's a way to make you feel better because you... And it sounds like you really feel like crap about this other thing.
I do.
Yeah. And so how long have you been struggling with this?
I think ever since I got into meta coaching.
Okay.
So NLP, yeah, for what, 15 years.
Okay. So this sounds like it's a big struggle for you.
Yeah.
And being able to see the big picture, that would make a difference.
I think being able to see the bigger picture and bigger picture, but to see that when I'm in that state of confusion, to have a way to stop in that state and to be able to just take a step back to see the bigger picture, or to see, hey, this is what's going on. To step out of my own confusion.
Okay. So is that what you need to be able to do, is to step outside of your own confusion?
I think so.
Okay. So talk to me about that. If you're able to step outside of your own confusion, what do you step into?
Awesomeness.
Okay.
So then I think I step into control.
Okay.
I step into that's such a weird question. So if I step out of that confusion, then I have more flexibility, I think, to I take charge of the coaching session.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can have take charge of that and lead, so I step into leading.
Okay.
And instead of feeling like I'm chasing, so leading. I think I would be a more effective at coaching.
Okay.
Because so in the timid state, let's see, I don't do anything. So at least I'd be more courageous in this other state.
Okay.
Ultimately, it's taking charge by being able to ask questions and you know, saying it back to them.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing you say is that what it ultimately is that you want to step into is the state of control and taking charge, so that you can lead the coaching session. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. And so as you're leading that and you become more courageous and asking questions, if you're
then
in,
I,
yeah, go ahead.
Then I feel better. I just feel better.
Okay. And if you feel better in this way, what difference is that going to make in your coaching sessions and in your business?
I think a huge difference. Then I'm going to feel like I can coach, that I can go out there and pursue business, that I can deliver what I said I could deliver.
Okay. So you'll be able to coach, you'll be able to pursue business, and mm-hmm. you can deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have all of that, Holly,
yeah,
why is that important to you?
Oh, because then I'm on track for living my vision and my mission.
Okay.
It's utilizing skills. Mm-hmm. So it's mastering those skills and going on to master other skills. And I get to do that while I'm working with people.
Okay.
So what difference would that make? I think I'd start to have a lot of fun.
Okay. So when you are able to take charge of the coaching session and lead and have that sense of control, then you have the sense of I can coach, I can pursue business, I can deliver, which means that you would be on track for living your vision and mission.
Yeah.
And that opens you up to mastering other skills and having fun.
Yeah.
Is that something that you would like?
Yeah.
Would that be valuable for you?
It would be very valuable to me.
So how valuable would that be for you?
How valuable? Well, how valuable? Well, I like to have fun, and I like to have that sense of accomplishment. That sense of accomplishment is very valuable to me. It's okay. About a 10.
Okay. So it sounds like it's important for you to make this change.
Yes.
Or do you want to continue for another 15 years in this stuck paradigm?
No, I don't want to continue for another 15 years.
Okay.
I hate it.
Yeah. So one thing that you mentioned is that you would like to master that, seeing the bigger structure and how all the pieces fit together.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one thing that you mentioned. I also noticed that there that you say that you're stuck in a paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something that we also need to work on to shift that paradigm?
Yes.
Okay. Also, you mentioned the state of confusion, that you need to mm-hmm. step out of that state of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we need to do as well, stepping out of the confusion.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the confusion, I'm just curious, how is that created? So you're unable to see that bigger structure.
How is that created? All I know is when Kristen was coaching
Kristen,
and she was talking about her problem state,
mm-hmm.
I think I was just listening to all the words and all the details, and I became very aware of that is my state of confusion that I get into.
Okay.
I get lost in the problem, or I get lost in the present state. So, mm-hmm. So that's the confusion. It's like being in the center of the axis of change, and all the lines are going through it, and all this information and all these words are coming in.
Okay.
And I'm trying to listen to all the words. So, the confusion is listening to all the words and getting hit with them, you know, and not knowing what to do. So
that's something that would need to shift.
Yeah.
That would be different, is that you're not getting hit with all those words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm changing the filter for what to listen for.
Okay. So that's something that we need to work on, is changing the filter, because right now it sounds like you're not filtering.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's also something that we need to work on, changing the filter, seeing the bigger structure.
Yeah.
And then stepping outside of this paradigm of feeling stuck and useless.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are the things that we need to work on.
Yeah.
In order for you to be able to take charge of your coaching session, so that you can have a sense of, I can coach, I can pursue business, I can deliver, so that you can be on track for living your vision and mission.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we could work on that together, Holly.
Yes.
Would that be valuable for you?
That would be valuable for me.
That's something that you would want.
Yes.
Okay. So we have only a few minutes left in this session. We have a minute and a half left. So the way that I would approach it is to do an 8-session coaching program where we can focus on everything, like, because it sounds like to me, Holly, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it's about seeing the bigger structure, but you already have all of the knowledge. Is that correct?
Yes.
So when we work on, in the coaching session, seeing the bigger structure, picking a filter, picking a different filter so that you don't get hit with all of the details, and then finding some empowering frames rather than the stuck paradigm to create a new paradigm for you.
Yeah.
Would that work for you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Okay. So this is the start. So now we're out of time, Holly. I want to thank you for being so open and sharing with me, and
thank you.
Being willing to be my demo. Oh, let me just stop the timer. So essentially, this is how I structure my initial session. And so this was just 20 minutes. So in 20 minutes, now there's a lot of details that I could have followed. which I don't, because and I want to get a little bit of detail because I want to know, is this about training or is this about coaching or mentoring? In my work, I need to separate those out. That's something that I could have checked earlier also with her, with seeing the bigger structure. Obviously, I know Holly, but I would be checking, is this really about knowledge? Is it about getting more knowledge and getting more experience? Or is it about the inner game? And since I know Holly, I know that she has the knowledge. But that's always something to check. But then I know, okay, this is something to be coached on. This is not necessarily more practice. So there's something going on internally. And then based from that, I just go to, okay, I've got my present state, I've got my desired state. There's a couple of things that she mentioned that we need to work on and that we need to in the next session. And that's something that I would mention is, so next time, first time we would meet when we work together is to get a very clear picture of what the outcome is and what specifically we need to work on, so that at the end we can test that you've reached your outcome. So we take this and we take it a step further. That's the first session. That'll be about 2 hours. And then we have 7 sessions together after that to do the change work. And then I'll ask, how does that sound? And then I will go into the pricing. Okay, so can you talk a bit about how you would price this? Okay, so I have for every program that I have, I've for the mentoring program, for coaching, for my business program, all of them are $4,500. And I didn't come to that necessarily on, oh, this is how much time it'll give me, but I really focused on, okay, what, on kind of like a synergy between what do I believe is still a, how do I say that? Like an amount that people can afford and is not gonna necessarily put them under a huge strain. And what is it worth? Because sometimes, like, let's say that for you, Holly, if you make this change and you start making money and you start getting clients because you make this change and you feel like you can take charge and take the lead so that you can actually utilize all the marketing efforts that you have done, imagine having that and taking that for the next 10 years. How valuable would that be for you? In my experience, if you make that change and you're able to get clients, and I'll share that with my clients then too, there's like almost no, like, that's invaluable. Because if you can start earning a living and not being stuck like you have been for the past 15 years, that might be worth $10,000 for you. But that's a decision that I made, is, you know, like, because I've done these programs where they say you can charge $10,000-$20,000, and I'm like, yeah, okay, but, you know, it's a huge investment. I don't feel like that's necessary. So I placed it at $4,500, and that's something that you need to check for yourself. You know, how much, how comfortable are you with what price? So I might, you know, I might in the future bump that up to 5,000-6,000. But right now for me, that's the price point. Does that make sense, Holly? You muted yourself. Holly?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Yes, that makes sense. Sorry.
Okay, great. Yeah. Any other questions about pricing? Okay, Christian, do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. It looks like, but maybe I'm wrong, that you insist a lot on states in that moment. Is it something that I just noticed, or you're really doing it on purpose?
This is also because Holly mentioned states a lot, but yes, I do want my client to notice the states of their present state and getting an away from that and really feel the desired state. That's really critical, like when you're working on the motivation axes. Mm-hmm. And that's all that you, like if you notice, that's all that I've been doing. Present state, desired state, and what is it going to get you if you have this? What is it going to cost you if you stay here? So, okay. And you definitely want to induce states that right there.
Okay, so it's using state and state and state and state and state.
Yep.
Even if it's not the problem that is set by the potential client. Okay.
Yeah. Definitely. So Pascal, any questions that you have?
I think this is pretty clear.
Okay.
From what you did.
Very good.
I noticed the problem, you know, you started out with how the problem in your life, and then she talked about it. Then you went in detail, then you went back. You said, let's take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
What were you expecting in your life? So you were going, you know, people get caught up in details. You were going up a level. How is it affecting your business? How is it affecting your life? And it was not just going down, but back up again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you have to see the pain, I guess, but not just the pain at the lower level, but the pain overall.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where the value is for them. If they can see, and the thing is I'm not putting any words in their mouths. I don't know if you can say that in English, but I'm not feeding them any words. It's like these are all their answers, and so that's why I can eventually set a price for them or a fee, because it is based on what they value and the difference, and then I can relate that back to. Well, this is what you want. Is this valuable enough for you to make this investment?
And then you went back and you did get there what they wanted, at least how it could help them. Then you went back again and said, okay, what are the things we could work on? So you made a list of now there are four or five things you could work on, solidifying the fact that. This is what you want, and this is what the problem is, and here are the things to work on, the steps or things, the obstacles to get you to that place.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So I'll just draw myself a picture here. And then how valuable it is for you, and would it be valuable, and what's, you know, the degree of value, and then you were checking to see whether it was a training, coaching, or was it really about their inner game?
Yeah. Exactly.
So looking at all these checks. As you're going along. Okay, makes
right.
sense to me.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that's exactly it. I want to know on a general level, what is it that we would be working with? So if this had really just been about skills and not about any coaching or anything, then I would have had to either refer or sell her into a training or something like that. But that's based on on the answers that she's giving.
So what about the referrals? You mentioned that you would refer. Who would you refer things to?
It depends. Like if I, so for example, right now, like I'm going for NLP coaches who want to, be better coaches. So I do the online meta coach training. If they need the APG, then I'm gonna refer them to Jason or anyone here in the United States who can run, who is running the APG, because I'm not planning on doing that.
So that means that it's important for us in the U.S. to know who's running what training.
Yeah, absolutely.
Refer people to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it might also be that, like I referred someone to a business consultant because she wanted to do my program, but that's not what she needed. And so I referred her to someone else. So it really depends on what they need.
Right.
Yeah. So did that help, Pascal, here listening to this?
Mm-hmm. It definitely helped, yeah.
Very good. Okay, so Raquel, do you have any questions? And you can just post them in the chat. Okay. How many sessions would you propose? Okay. And because I work with mostly big issues, because that's what I really love to do, I normally propose 8 sessions. I do actually say that the price they pay, it's for the outcome. And so if they need one or more, 2 more sessions, that works fine. My experience is that after session 6, then they pretty much already have the outcome, and so then it really is just a case of refining and fine tuning. So I always do 8 sessions, but that's also because I do the bigger issues and we really spend a lot of time in that first session, 2 hours, on getting very, very clear what specifically we need to work on at a higher level. And that is going to make a difference as well. So, yeah, that's the way that I do that. And, so that's something that you need to kind of like look at. Okay, how many sessions do I need? But 8, I think like with 8 sessions, you can solve most issues, bigger issues. Okay, any other questions? Christian, do you have more questions?
No, thank you. It was very interesting.
Okay, very good. So if no more questions, the session is being recorded, so I'll post it so that you can listen back to it. If you have any more questions after that, feel free to just share them on the Facebook group so that everyone can see the question and learn from it. In the meantime, Miral has joined us as well, and so I just want to give her a chance to introduce herself and to say hi, and welcome to you, Miral. Are you there?
Yes, I am now.
Hi, great.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay,
welcome
great.
To the group.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone.
So you missed a
okay,
little.
Okay, so I joined a little bit late,
yeah.
So I wasn't following from the beginning.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I can just drop you an email maybe and clarify a few points.
Yeah, that sounds good. And I will send the link where you can listen to the recording as well. And I still
that's
need to
great.
Create your. I still need to create your account as well. So I'll do that after the call, and then you have immediate access and you can listen back to the recording.
Okay, thanks.
Just so you know, we have Christian on the call. He is from France. We have Holly on the call from the United States, and Pascal also from the United States. And then we have Raquel from Brazil. And so, Mirelle, would you like to share a little bit about who you are and where you're from and things like that?
Yeah, sure. I'm from Egypt, and I'm currently residing in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates. And I actually did meet Raquel before during the NSTT.
I thought that.
So I got my ACMC in March of 2014, and then I went on to get my NSTT in Brazil and also 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing very light coaching, and this is like basically why I'm here. I want to, just fine-tune my skills and take it to a higher level and to be more confident when I'm doing my coaching.
Nice. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to the group, Miral.
Thank you so much.
If you could, because I sent you a friend request on Facebook, if you could...
Yeah, I accepted that.
Oh, great. Then I will add you to the Facebook group. And you can meet all the others. And also, I will give you access to the membership area.
Okay, lovely.
Very good. Okay, well, that means that for today we've come to the end of our session. If you're still going through the modules and you're working on some of the exercises, feel free to share them on Facebook group, ask questions so that we can give you feedback and you can learn from that. We meet again 2 weeks from now at the same time. I'm going to post the recording from today online if you have any questions about that, also on the Facebook group. And if there's anything in 2 weeks' time that you would like to focus on, you can just drop me an email and I can prepare for that. So anything that you would like to focus on with regards to meta-coaching, any skill that you would like to learn, anything you'd like me to discuss or go over, then please just let me know. Okay, well, have a wonderful day or evening, depending on where you're at. And I look forward to seeing the activity on the Facebook group and to having you on the call again in 2 weeks' time. Okay, bye, bye-bye, everyone.